What's going on, folks? Welcome to the Patriots Podcast, Week 11 Wrap-Up Edition. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
So, how about it? 10-0. We made it. Double-digit wins.
13 seasons in the last 15 years. Is that what it was?
I think it's like 13 consecutive seasons.
13 consecutive? That could be true. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Ever since we went 9-7. Oh, we almost made it to 10 wins that year.
That's pretty awesome. Not gonna lie, 10-0. We've the wheels haven't fallen off the truck yet. Injuries are mounting, but
injuries are seriously mounting.
The rest of the NFL looks worse, so we could take off these six games and probably still have a chance at a first round bye.
Have a chance, yeah. Well, the margin of victory is slowly decreasing. Like, even going back to the Redskins game, we only scored like 20, 27 points, I think. And then now it's the Giants game. We only won by a point. And then this game, we only won by 7 points. And it was pretty close.
Well, that's kind of what you get with the NFL season, right? I mean, I'll get into it a little bit once we start going with this. But the game the other night was freezing. I mean, anyone who wasn't in New England watching this, probably didn't get the idea that, you know, it's been roughly 50 degrees here, 55 for the last couple weeks, which isn't too cold, you know, around here. And it was down to probably in halftime, it was around 25 degrees.
Yeah, I think that's what it said.
So, like, I'm usually someone that can handle the cold. Like, that's not something that really bothers me. And I was freezing all day. Like, I couldn't, no one's been adjusted over here. So, kind of knew it was going to be a slow game. And 07 season when we played, you look at all those games, the margin got smaller and smaller right around this time of year too.
Yeah, when we went up against the Eagles and then the Ravens, those games that were
got really
came down
tight
at the very end.
The Eagles was against the backup quarterback. So
was it?
Yeah, it was Feely, I think.
AJ Feely?
Yeah.
Wow, that's going back. Anyway, we're 10-0 now. 4-0 in the division. We swept the season series against Rex Ryan for like the third time out of 5 years or something like that.
Unbelievable.
Pretty good. Shut him up. Do you see how pissed he was on the sideline?
Oh, at halftime.
The majority of the first half.
Well, just that right when we scored that touchdown before
the
very
end of the first half.
Flipped out. It was unbelievable. And I mean, I understand why he's pissed. They played a great game up to that point and just blew it just like that. Like,
yeah, just a blown coverage. We'll get to that play.
Yeah.
So anyway, we will start with the game summary as we went over last week. We'll do that again real quick here. A little bit shorter. A lot of punts in this game. A lot of punts.
A lot of 3-and-outs, yeah.
So the Pats win the opening coin toss, elect to defer, as Belichick seemingly always does. Kick off to the Bills, quick 3-and-out. We're thinking, great. Patriots get the ball back. Just about, you know, like 20 or 30 yard line, and we start driving. We're handing it off. I mean, LeGarrette Blount had more carries on the first drive than he did the entire game in week two.
Yeah, right.
And so we're pushing the ball down the field slowly. It's not going great. Brady's taking a ton of hits. That was pretty much the story of the game for me.
He got crushed.
Was how many? Officially, he took 10 quarterback hits, but when they were counting them during the game, it was up to like 14 or 15. So I don't know how they
officially do that. Yeah,
I don't know how they choose what's a hit and what isn't a hit. I would think anytime he gets touched, that's a hit.
Who knows?
Anyway, they were able to drive down. We started in this first series, we had Marcus Cannon at left tackle and Cameron Fleming at right tackle and David Andrews at center. Andrews was later replaced by Stork at right tackle. Cameron Fleming was later replaced by Vollmer. I have no idea why they didn't start like that, but that's how they did it.
Yeah.
So the Patriots are driving on their first possession, and we get in range for a Gostkowski field goal, and he drills it. So we're up 3-0, first quarter for like, what is that, the 36th consecutive quarter they scored in?
Mm-hmm.
Kick off to the Bills. They drive a little bit. They end up punting, give it back to us. We punt to them. Bills get the ball back to start the second quarter, and they start driving, and they wind up kicking a field goal to tie it up 3-3. This is at the start of the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Pats get the ball back. We punt. The Bills punt. The Pats punt. I mean, it was a defensive struggle.
It was a defensive battle the whole game. I mean, the defense has played really well. I mean, the Pats defense is just showing up left and right. I mean, they're playing really good, and we are probably arguably missing our best player on there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then the defense, you know, Buffalo's D, they dialed in a really good game. They did a lot more of what they wanted to do against us, and a lot of it was because of the offensive line dealing with our, you know, some missing pieces, you know, and it was friggin' freezing out, which no receivers like.
Well, what you saw during that game was Rex Ryan's defense would put like six or seven guys right on the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's just saying, hey, Brady, figure out who's coming and who's not.
Exactly. And Brady did it sometimes and couldn't do it other times. And the offensive line couldn't figure it out either.
Yeah, that first half, there were so many free rushers that are just coming in. I mean, even up the A-gap, sometimes they'd get a linebacker, or, I mean, they're sending safeties all the time. They're sending cornerbacks off the edge.
And sometimes everyone would drop back into coverage. Other times, two would go, and two would drop back in coverage. Other times, four would go. It was just, you know, it was smart defense.
He was mixing it up constantly. I mean, one time I saw Corbin Bryant, a defensive tackle, playing underneath man coverage on Gronkowski. Like, that's how crazy he got.
Yeah.
So obviously it was difficult for Brady to identify who's coming. He's got two tackles who haven't played in weeks. He's got a center who hasn't played center all season, trying to make all these calls fit. And so I hope they're able to communicate better. I think Brady said yesterday on the radio, he was like, we got to execute better. We couldn't get on the same page. The communication, we had issues identifying who needed to be picked up and which slides need to be made. So that was pretty much the story of the first half, if not the majority of the game, was protecting Brady. So anyway, we go through the second quarter, and there have just been punts galore. The Bills end up getting the ball back with about 4 minutes to go, and they start driving down the field, and they're able to get in field goal range. Dan Carpenter attempts a 48-yarder to take the lead at the end of the first half with less than a minute to go. And wouldn't you know it, it just bends and bends and then doinks right off the field goal post and almost ricochets in.
That was awesome.
Yeah, so clutch for us. And now, since that was a 48-yard field goal, Pats get the ball, pretty good field position, a 38-yard line. And we got three timeouts and 46 seconds to go. And wouldn't you know it, Tom Brady, who's been struggling the whole half, can't stay upright, can't find open receivers, drives the Patriots down for a touchdown in 33 seconds.
Yeah. It's like, where the fuck was that all game?
Yeah, just when you need it. I mean, he hit Amendola. He hit LaFell on a big one over the middle. And then they wind up down at the inside the red zone. The Bills send an overload pressure on the right. Mario Williams goes to chip James White out of the backfield, but doesn't really.
Just little dart right to him. Touchdown. Just like that.
Just a too much space for a running back to get out in the flat there. And James White made Corey Graham miss. That's their leading tackler, and he made him miss.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm starting James White in fantasy. Hell yeah. I'm in the playoffs.
Peanut gallery, shut it. Anyway. Sorry about that. Our fans are getting crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, that, you know, it was like, where the hell was that all game? It was just like, why didn't we go to the hurry up when, you know, and just get them reeling? I mean, a lot of that's from the pressure that they were sending us and coming at us. And this was an obvious protect, you know, we got to kind of, they sit more set on their heels type of thing. But that's why Rex was so pissed, because he called a great game up to that point, and then boom, 7 points.
Well, that's what it was. They sent a blitz on that play, and he was coming in hot on Brady, and Brady stared it down, identified James White with the safety coming over the top, and the safety just, he couldn't get there in time, and by the time he got there, he's got to match up James White in the open field, and he wasn't able to do it.
Yeah.
It was huge. I mean, in that span, that last minute of the half, we went from potentially being down 6-3 to up 10-3.
Yeah.
And then we get ball back at the other side of halftime.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. But yeah, it was just, the first half was sluggish.
Yeah, it was sloppy.
It was cold. the offensive line didn't know what was going on. Defensively, we played really good, though. We kept bottling them up just as well as they were bottling up, better than they were bottling us up. I mean, it was pretty good defensively.
So we go into the second half. Patriots receive. We're able to move the ball a little bit. We get into right on the cusp of Gostkowski's field goal range. And wouldn't you know it, right the week after I nickname him the luxury, because you never have to think twice about him, he misses his first field goal in a calendar year, a 54-yarder.
Well, it was going to happen at some point, you know?
Yeah, you'd rather it be right now than in the playoffs.
And then the third quarter as opposed to a game winner.
Yep. So, obviously, nobody faults him. 25 degrees out, 54-yard field goal, possibly wind-related. I mean, that's a really difficult kick for anybody.
He almost made it.
He almost did.
It wasn't like it was a terrible kick. He almost made that. For a little while, it looked good, and then the wind just bent it out a little bit.
So there you go. We had an opportunity to go up 13-10 at that point. Unfortunately, weren't able to convert the field goal, and then the Bills get the ball back at really good territory, their own 44, and they take the ball straight down the fields for a touchdown, finishing on like a 27-yard run around the right end for LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
It was just nice. That was really good blocking. We got sealed on the outside. We got sealed on the inside. And, I mean, McCoy's a good back. He's going to take it all the way sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I think they originally called that he was down, but then they overturned that one, right?
Yeah, they reviewed it. Well, they called him down, and then the refs got together and said, nah, he scored. And then
they reviewed it, right?
Exactly. That initiates the automatic review.
Right.
So we had the opportunity to go 13-3. Now it's tied up 10-10. We're in the third quarter staring down a real difficult divisional opponent. And offense hasn't really been doing that much. Yeah. Not really the most confident you can be at that point.
Mm-hmm. There's still plenty of time left, but yeah, it wasn't looking great.
And what do we do with the ball? Three and out. Got to punt it. Bills do the same thing, three and out, punt it back to us. And now the Pats, this was one of the biggest plays of the game. Let me see one sec. Yeah, so...
This is when
the Patriots get the ball back, and then Brady rolls out to his right and throws it up to Amendola, and there's a whistle somewhere in there.
The fucking ghost whistle? Like, what the fuck?
Exactly. When it first happened, I didn't think Amendola was that open, and then they show that, like, the view from the top of the stadium.
Of just no one around.
There's nobody
there. Receiver and cornerback, like, 20 or 30 yards away. Up the field.
And for some reason, Rex Ryan is more pissed than Belichick is.
He's the one who caused it.
Yeah, exactly. He gets in the guy's face.
He can say whatever he wants. That was a 14-point swing because of that play. But so the funny thing is the refs didn't even know what to do. They like congregated for like 10 minutes until and when the guy turned on his mic, he was very obviously nervous, the head ref.
I mean, how often does that happen? That never happens.
It was a false whistle.
Yeah.
Get the ball at the spot of the catch and 15 yards. Like, all right, thank God they gave us the 15 yards for, you know, obstructing. But apparently, according to the rule, the real rule is the whistle was blown while the ball was still in the air. So it was technically should have been a dead ball replay down.
Yeah, that's what it should have been. But I think that they wanted to side with the home team a little bit.
Oh, they had to.
Yeah, or it was because they knew it was going to be a big play, and then they were like, we can't take the whole thing away.
Yeah, and it was so close to him catching it, they were like, all right, if we take that away, we're going to get murdered here tonight. Especially if we lost. Like, if we lost and that was the play.
Oh, would have been so pissed.
Everyone would have been, it's rigged. The NFL is rigged. Where was Goodell with the call? Like, all shit like that would have broke loose on the NFL.
Yeah. And I also read that the line judge that blew the whistle inadvertently, the one who Rex Ryan was storming after.
Yeah.
Apparently, in like week one or two, he got trampled on the sideline and like broke a couple ribs, his collarbone, had a collapsed lung. I mean, this dude got beat the fuck up.
That's, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and now he's got the whole play running at him. He's got an angry Rex Ryan running at him as well. And he might have just freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
He might have just lost his shit and blown the whistle by accident. So, I mean, obviously the refs are going to make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. But Patriots were able to get essentially 30 yards out of that play because they gave the ball at the Amendola spot of the catch and then the 15 yards for Rex Ryan being a dickhead. And then they were able to keep moving the ball. I mean, it was a third down play. They faced an all-out blitz, and then Brady hits Amendola on this little out route from the slot. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And then he like cuts back over the middle, and he takes it inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
Amendola played great, by the way.
Played a great game, yeah.
He had, what do you have? He had like 9 catches for $117, and he didn't even play in the fourth quarter.
I know.
It's terrific crazy game. So we get the ball inside the 10-yard line now.
And then
Brady does his usual thing where he gets the ball to the line of scrimmage real fast so the defense can't substitute. And they had some guy offsides, right? And he was running to get back on sides. And before you know it, we hand it off to James White and he pushes it into the end zone. Now we're up 17-10.
Yep.
20-10.
Yeah.
17-10. Excuse 17. Me. So another brilliant play by Brady to get up on the line of scrimmage super fast, catch them off guard. And so now we're up 17-10, feeling a little bit better. Not so bad after the inadvertent whistle. We were still able to convert that into a touchdown.
Yep.
So now we kick off to the Bills.
We scored right after that?
Yeah, yep. We scored the same drive.
Okay.
So we kick off to the Bills. They get a 3-and-out, punt it back to us. We do the same, punt it back to them. And now this time, Leotis McKelvin catches the punt, goes to his left, and Brandon motherfucking King punches that shit out.
The same thing that happened to Leotis McKelvin a couple of years ago on the kickoff return.
Exactly.
Where he fumbled. It's like, wow. And then he fumbled another one at the end of the game.
Yeah, but he was able to recover that one. But yeah, he muffed the next punt return. So yeah, Brandon King made a great play. He was the gunner opposite Slater. He comes in on the backside and punches the ball out for McKelvin. Jonathan Freeney, Johnny on the spot, scoops it up. He makes like 2 steps and then he gets it punched out. And luckily, Brandon Bolden was there to kick the ball out of bounds, so we were able to retain possession. But crazy ass play, huge for us, because now we get the ball in deep inside the Bills' territory.
Yeah.
So we move the ball a little bit, barely, but we end up settling for a field goal from 35 yards out to make it 20-10.
Mm-hmm.
Now we move into the fourth quarter. The Bills punt it, and then Patriots get the ball back, and then we start moving it a little bit. And then for some reason, Brady decides to throw it up to Chris Harper, of all people, for a jump ball inside the 10-yard line of the Bills.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking there.
It's like 2 straight weeks he's done something like that.
Just got Gronk moving. Gronk just had a big play before that. Didn't do anything before that. Had, I don't know, 20, 30 yards on that play. And then if you watch him while that ball's being picked, if you threw a back shoulder pass to Gronk on that, would have been a big chunk of yards. But he went for, I'm sure somebody else might have been open too, but he went for that just uncharacteristic. It's like this. He's the guy just came up off the practice squad. He didn't burn him.
Yeah. I mean, he was well covered, and he's in the same area as Gronk, so you know there's going to be extra coverage hanging out over there.
Yeah.
And he just threw it up, and then, I mean, Chris Harper actually made a decent play on it to almost reel it in, but in the process of almost reeling it in, he popped it up. He tipped it,
and the guy picked it off. And it was a first down, too, wasn't it?
I think it might have been a first down, yeah. Yeah, because the first play from scrimmage, we went to Gronkowski on that beautiful fade route where he just fitted in right under his chin. And then the very next play, he just throws it up deep to Harper and it's picked off.
Yeah.
How about Gronk on the tackle, though? And he just grabbed Gilmore and just put him down.
Yeah. He's like, no, you're not going nowhere.
He's like, you're going to stop running right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Another fourth quarter interception for Brady. That's 3 consecutive games with the pick,
which is surprising. So how many picks has he got this season? 3?
He's got, those 3 have come in the last 3 games. And they've all been just, like, bad decisions.
Just odd plays.
Yeah. I mean,
well, two of them were tipped.
Two of them were tipped. Well, no, only one of them was tipped. This was the only tip.
Wasn't Edelman's tipped?
Oh, yeah, that was his fourth. Yeah, I forgot about that pick. Yeah, so I guess two picked, two not picked. I mean, tipped. Anyway, uncharacteristic, poor play, poor decision. Last week was just a bad throw, but this one was a really just a dumb mistake. Mm-hmm. But luckily, defense once again steps up and forces a punt. Then the Pats get the ball back with about 8 to 10 minutes to go. And you're thinking, okay, let's just get a long-ass drive. Let's finish this off.
Put the game away.
And
it's all about, and we didn't.
Didn't. Punted it back. Bills drive again. They end up getting a field goal to make it 20-13. And now we're looking at, like, 3 minutes to go when the Pats get the ball back.
Yeah. It's like, all right, let's put it away.
Yeah. Once again, let's finally put it away, and we just hand it off to Blunt 3 times in a row. He gets 8 yards. We're stuffed, and we got to punt the ball back to them and hope our defense can bail us out.
Oh, terrible.
Luckily, we're able to pin them pretty deep at their own 16-yard line, and they were able to move the ball a little bit. This is when Sammy Watkins had a couple of, I mean, like his entire day consisted of this final drive.
Yeah.
Against our real soft prevent defense. And they were able to drive up a little bit, but our defense was still able to force incompletions and put pressure on Tyrod Taylor. And then it winds up being a pass out to Sammy Watkins. And then he rolls himself out of bounds. And for some reason, they marked him inbounds.
Yeah, they were like, nope, the game's over.
Yeah, and then that was it. I think the refs just wanted to get the fuck out of there.
I do, too. It was a long game.
It's like 4 hours almost.
Right around four. I mean, that was the longest game I can remember. Monday Night Football around here usually goes to 11:30, 11:45 at the very latest. This game went to like 12:15. It was like, what the fuck?
So many officiating issues.
Yeah. That's why they were like, nope, we're done.
Yeah.
And I mean, at that point, it was just coming down to a Hail Mary for a touchdown to tie the game. It wouldn't even have won.
Right. There were only would have been 2 seconds left if they marked Watkins out of bounds.
He would have just whipped it up, and Gronk hopefully would have batted it down, and that would have been that.
But then again, it was still, I mean, even the NFL came out today and said it was a mistake. He should have been marked out of bounds if the clock stopped.
But they also said the whistle was, I mean, it was probably one of the worst nationally televised officiated games.
Yeah, they kept fucking
since the replacement refs, one called a touchdown and one waved it off.
Yeah, that was brutal.
When the ball was not caught. Like, so.
It's just how it goes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sloppy game. Certainly not our best performance, but we're able to make the plays we needed to.
Yeah.
To get the win. Tom Brady, 20 for 39. Not a very good completion percentage. I mean, I would like to know how many of those were just throwaways, because it seemed like every incompletion, he was just throwing it at somebody's feet or out of bounds.
Yeah, he just didn't want it in the air.
And those were like all the plays he was getting hit. He was only sacked one time, but he was officially hit 10 times.
Yeah, he got hit a lot.
All the time, always under pressure.
I mean, you got to give it to Brady. He, on some of those plays, he stood, like the actual completions, a few of them, he got laid out and just stood in there and delivered a great pass. At least two or three times, he took an enormous hit and laid a perfect strike.
And yeah, like that long one to Amendola, the 41-yard catch right after the inadvertent whistle. That one, he got drilled right in the chest.
Yeah, and even the announcer was like, what? Like, I don't understand why this guy is still doing this.
37 years old, you got like, your worth 37, like
37, and he's got the fire to stand in there and take a shot like that and still deliver a perfect ball and just not, you know, get up and run, you know. It's crazy.
How about that time when the announcer goes, oh, Brady's down? Did you hear that? I think it was Gruden. He goes, Brady's down, and my stomach was in my throat. It was horrific.
I think I saw that when he was on the before he said it. I was like, oh God, please get up. Please get up. And then they go to another camera. It's like, did he get up?
Yeah.
Can someone say if he got up?
And he's up and he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, whew, scary shit. Anyway, still went for 277, got a touchdown, He had that uncharacteristic interception. And compared to Tyrod Taylor, who played pretty well. I mean, even after he hurt his collarbone at the very end there, he was still throwing the ball pretty well.
He was throwing pretty well. I mean, he didn't do anything special. He really didn't. The Pats D, you got to give them a lot of credit. They bottled him up a lot. They didn't allow him to really run a lot, which was pretty good. You know, against the run, I think they let McCoy had an okay game. I think he had over 100 yards or something.
He had 82.
82, that's it?
Rushing, but he had a bunch receiving also. He had 41 yards receiving.
Receiving-wise, they didn't do much. Friggin' Butler pretty much shut down Sammy Watkins.
He gave up one catch to Sammy Watkins before that final drive, and that was the catch where Watkins went up one-handed.
Yeah, that was just like a freak pull. Like, what?
That's great. And he was coming. It was a crossing route. He was on the outside of a trip formation. He ran across. Butler had to make up like 60 yards of ground, and he almost deflected that ball.
And Watkins only finished with 3 for 39. And this is the same Sammy Watkins that a week or two ago just torched Revis.
Yeah, that was last week. I mean, he didn't torch him all game, but on that one crucial third down play, he torched him.
Yeah. And, you know, he played great. Hightower is just a force on the field.
Yeah, he is.
And the whole D-line, the whole friggin' D-line played great.
Yeah, Dominic Easley, I thought, played terrific. Siliga was inactive, a healthy scratch this game. Surprising. Which should tell you where he stands behind Akeem Hicks and Alan Branch and Easley, and Malcolm Brown is showing up.
Yeah, he's been playing really good. Ninkovich had a good game. I think he has 1.5 sacks, maybe.
Yep.
A lot of tackles, played really sound football. Chandler Jones was disruptive. I mean, he wasn't as disruptive as normal, but solid, you know, definitely solid game.
How about Mayo, huh? Mayo only played like 15 snaps, but it seemed like every time he was taking a tackle.
He showed up a lot, and
I still don't know why Freeney's ahead of him. I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, Freeney didn't do much, but he didn't really hurt himself this much either this game.
Yeah.
You know, hurt the D. McCourty had a great play in the end zone to play touchdown.
That was huge. They had a couple of plays like that. Like, there was one up the sideline that Taylor threw a little bit short on the left sideline, and Patrick Chung was able to make up the ground, and it like went off his helmet or something.
Yeah, that was a good play.
And then there was that other one, I think it was to McCoy at the corner of the end zone, that McCourty was able to break up. I mean, if they make those two plays, that's almost a 14-point shift.
Yeah. Yeah, so how good the secondary is, I mean, it's kind of, it's surprising. I mean, we had a lot of doubts about it early in the season. But now, I mean, the Pats, they've done a good job. All, you know, everyone in that unit's really good. The whole defense overall is ranked number one right now.
Number one in scoring defense.
That's incredible.
Like, yeah, they're like number four or five in total defense in terms of yardage given up, and number one in points given up, fewest points.
Yeah. We're third.
Third in yardage?
Oh, no, that's offense. Hang on.
Oh, man, don't get mixed up.
15th. Second against the rush.
Shit. Way off.
But you look at it right now, the Patriots are first in scoring defense and second in total offense.
Second in scoring offense also.
Scoring offense, yeah.
Behind the Cardinals, who are barely. They scored 10 more points.
Third in yards overall. I mean, it's pretty good. You got the number one ranked defense, number two ranked offense. I mean,
yeah.
And the number two ranked offense is only coming in the last week or so.
Yeah, we've been number one for like the first 9 weeks of the season.
So you really can't ask for much more than that. That's pretty impressive.
Right.
No matter how you slice it.
Yeah, this defense has been coming up huge for this team the last couple weeks.
Definitely.
Huge. They're missing Jamie Collins, and still, I mean, Patrick Chung, we mentioned him against the tight ends. How about Logan Ryan limiting Robert Woods to 40 yards? He's been doing that for weeks now. Malcolm Butler's been playing insane. This week, what was really interesting, Justin Coleman was inactive with a hand injury, and then they, for some reason, Tavon Wilson, who's been a healthy scratch for like the last month, comes in, and he's playing slot cornerback, and he plays pretty well.
He played pretty good.
He was making hard hits. He's making tackles on the running game. He's able to stay with receivers. I mean, Chris Hogan was able to put up some numbers. He put up like 95 yards. But that was a combination of against zone coverage as well as against Tavon Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, Charles Clay had one catch.
Their lead receiver.
That's their leading receiver. And we held him to one reception. Sammy Watkins is like their number two receiver, and we held him to one reception until the final drive of the game.
And he only finished with three. I mean, that's just great. And we're getting pressure. We're up there in sacks per game.
Yeah, and Tyrod Taylor had four carries for 1 yard. That's how you contain a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, that's crazy. Just a good overall game.
And this is like the number two rushing offense in the NFL, and we held them to less than 100 yards.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. Crazy.
I mean, you lose one of the best corners in the league. Basically, you lose your top three corners from the year before, and you become the number one defense.
Pretty that good.
No sense.
Yeah.
Only Bill Belichick, folks.
Matt Patricia, power of the beard.
Yeah, Matt Patricia, yeah. Offensively,
this
is one of our worst games, but it's going to look up.
These injuries are fucking stacking up, man.
Well, offensive line-wise, I mean, that's the offensive line. Obviously, now that Solder's gone, like, this is the offensive line that we were hoping at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
Vollmer and Stork, and you got Andrews, and we got some depth now, finally.
But they looked rusty, man. They did not know what was happening.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, that's a tough test. You go up against one of the best defensive lines in the league, and you guys are – this is the first time three guys are playing again.
Yeah.
At this position.
I wonder if we should swap Cannon and Vollmer. I thought Cannon looked a little bit overwhelmed at left tackle.
I wish that would happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if it will, obviously, but I think it should.
It's good that that Vollmer has that flexibility.
Yeah.
That's an option.
And then surprising that Andrews came out so quick.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like based on that move, they've been wanting to get Stork back there.
He's bigger.
Yeah.
He's just stouter. You know, he's got more experience. I think we'd be fine with Andrews, but I think Stork is a better option.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be a lot for the running game. This is going to be a big help for the running game coming forward because now we got some big, big bodies up there. You know, we've been looking for, and you got Blount behind him. I mean, and this is, you know, we're going into November, December football here. This is going to be where it, you know, running game, defense, and then you got Tom Brady at quarterback, hopefully slowly getting weapons back. It's not where you'd like to be, but it's better than everybody else.
Yeah, we're going to have to really develop our running game. It's been mediocre at best this season so far. Yeah. But now if we get some continuity going up front, we get Blount loves the cold weather. I feel like every December, he just turns that shit up.
Yeah.
He takes
advantage.
And all the injuries on the outside are going to force us to really commit to the running game.
Yeah. Amendola's questionable, but they saw him at practice.
Yeah, he was at the walkthrough. Dobson was out. I don't know what happened to him. He made a really good catch on that play, but then he like couldn't walk right afterwards. I don't know what happened to his ankle.
Funny, I thought he was celebrating. I was like, what are you celebrating for? He didn't even do anything. And then it was his ankle. I was like, oh, shit.
It was weird. He popped up, and he looked fine. And then he took two steps, and he couldn't walk anymore.
Yeah. I was like, shit.
It's too bad. What was weird is he started the game over LaFell.
Yeah.
I don't know why that happened. I wonder if LaFell is like a little sick or something. I don't know, because I can't explain why Dobson would be on the field instead of LaFell.
And then LaFell didn't do much this game. The one thing I didn't like was it seems like they're not looking for Gronk. They've been using him as a chess piece to get other people open so much that it's like you're undermining your best player in some instances. Like, just throw it to him.
I mean, they threw it to him seven times. It's not like they never threw to him. He had a couple go off his hands. They would have been difficult catches, but it almost catches that he usually makes.
Right, but it wasn't like he had any opportunities where they were like, okay, this is designed for Gronk.
Yeah.
Like, to get Gronk open. I mean, there's ways to do it.
The Bills were playing, they were, I mean, if he was lined up in the slot or in line, they were double-teaming him. And yeah. if he was on the outside, he was essentially manned up on one of their corners, and they got good corners.
Still, come on now.
I know. Give him a shot, especially against Ronald Darby, who's 5'9". Throw it up to him. See what he's got.
Yeah. And Chandler didn't show up, which I was kind of disappointed to see. He didn't show up at all.
Scott Chandler. They got him the ball once in the left flat, and he just he's got nothing after the catch. I mean, he's a tree. He just stands still.
Yeah, right. They wrap his legs and he's done.
Yeah, that's it. It's too bad. But Amendola, like you said, was a little banged up. He looks like he'll be back. Dobson's probably out for a bit. LaFell should be okay. We got Gronk. We got Chandler. And what I think really needs to happen is they got to make James White a priority in the passing game.
Yeah.
It seems like he's had the shackles on. I mean, he's rarely lined up wide. He's rarely outside the way that they would use a Deion Lewis or a Shane Vereen. You know how they line him up at a wide receiver position? Definitely. They're never using him like that. They're not giving him option routes coming out of the backfield.
And he scored two touchdowns.
Yeah, and he was still able to score two touchdowns. His first two of his career.
Yeah, so if they can get that going, I don't know what we're going to expect from Chris Harper.
Like him. I mean, I really liked him in preseason. I don't know.
Yeah.
It depends how much Amendola can go. If he can't go, then Harper's got to show up because he's the next in line in that position.
I think they're going to sign somebody, too.
I don't know. How are you going to do that? Who are you going to cut?
I don't know. I haven't thought that through, but...
Who are they going to sign?
Denarius Moore was just cut from whatever team he was on. He was sick in Oakland 1 year.
1 year, like 5 years ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was a while ago, back when blonde dreads were the new thing.
Maybe.
It was a while ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, whatever. But I think they're just, you know, with the injuries, the wheels haven't fallen off yet. I mean, I think our situation, I keep saying, you know, you look around the league, our situation is better than anyone else right now. Maybe it's outside of Carolina.
I mean, certainly better than what they got going on in Denver, who we see this week.
Yeah, definitely.
Peyton Manning is now out for 2 weeks.
Right. Another thing about the defense, too, is Jamie Collins was in the stadium this week. I don't know if he's been, you know, how long he's been in the stadium, if he was in the stadium last week, but he's there.
He's not practicing, though.
He's not practicing, but he's there.
I mean, that's encouraging. That's a step.
That's a huge step in the right direction.
I know, but I think it's going to take him weeks to build back his strength.
But I think that's what he's been doing.
Yeah.
If he's been sick for this long, he'd be in the hospital.
Maybe he was.
Yeah, but he'd still be in the hospital. He'd be like bedridden if he was sick for 4 weeks. You don't get sick for 4 weeks and then just...
No one's saying he was sick for 4 weeks. He was sick for two.
I think he was sick for a week or two.
Two.
And then he's been working out for the last 2 weeks. That's pretty good.
This is based on nothing.
This is based on personal experience.
Get the fuck out of here. For the only evidence that he is better at all is the fact that his backpack was in his locker today. That's the only evidence. He wasn't spotted at the facility last week. He hasn't practiced in almost a month.
Yeah, but he was in the stadium. He was there.
Okay. It could have just been somebody else's backpack.
And he is on Snapchat.
Oh, he's back?
He's the first Snapchat in a while, and it was in, like, with a Patriots symbol. Like, it was good spirits. It was in good spirits.
Okay, good. So
it was positive.
Anyway, the point is, all speculation aside, when he comes back, this defense is much better.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the same thing we saw with the Seahawks defense last year. Remember Bobby Wagner went out for, like, 6 weeks, and they were an average defense, and then he came back, and they were averaging, like, 6 points a game.
Yeah,
given up.
We're not even an average defense. We're the number one defense.
Yeah, but we're that much better. All I'm saying is that he's that valuable to this defense.
Oh, definitely.
What he brings in the pass rush game, what he brings against the run, what he brings in coverage.
Oh, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. So we got that to look forward to. And I had previously mentioned Peyton Manning has been declared out for 2 weeks. So unfortunately, we're not going to be able to see Brady versus Manning 17 or whatever this would be.
Complete bullshit.
I know. Well, what are you going to do? He's hurt. He's hurt or he's old and not good. But either way, he's not going to play. We might see him in the playoffs, perhaps. But that definitely takes something out of this weekend's game. But, you know, we'll be back later on this week to talk about that game.
Mm-hmm.
As for what happened this past weekend, Peyton Manning's replacement, Brock Osweiler, was able to go into Chicago and come out with a win, even though I predicted that the Bears were going to win. So I kind of got to eat some humble pie on that one. I was so convinced, and they came.
They barely won.
They came within 2 points, the Bears did, of tying up that game and pushing it to overtime. But
yeah. You saw some more injuries this game, this weekend, and some more things unfold. You saw the Cardinals lose to the Bengals. That's a huge game.
What are you talking about? The Bengals lost to the Cardinals.
I'm sorry. The Cardinals beating the Bengals is what I meant.
Right. Giving the Patriots a two-game lead in the AFC.
Two-game lead in the AFC and a five-game lead in our division?
Yeah, because the Jets lost to the Texans. And TJ Yates.
TJ Yates beat the goddamn Jets. That's incredible.
Yeah. Lucked out. So the Texans are tied for first place now in the AFC South.
Yeah, that division is wide open.
Wide open. The fucking Jaguars just stuck their noses into it. They're one game back in the division. The Jaguars.
If you see the what's it called? The wild card right now? Mm-hmm. It's like a joke.
It's like 10 teams long, right?
Yeah, there's just almost every team in the AFC has a chance at one wild card spot.
Yeah.
The Steelers have it right now, and depending on what the hell happens with Big Ben over the next couple of weeks, could really open things up for a lot of teams.
Isn't he back? He's not back?
Well, I don't know what the hell they're doing. I mean, he was a backup quarterback in that game. He wasn't supposed to play.
Wasn't that 2 weeks ago?
Was that 2 weeks ago, or was that last week?
That was 2 weeks ago. They were on a bye last week.
No, it's on a bye. It was a bye, right?
Yeah, so he should be okay going forward.
That's his second injury this season.
I know, but like I said, the guy is not human. He's not made out of flesh and bone.
Yeah, he's like spare parts, whatever they have in the shop.
Yeah, he's like a junkyard rubbery matrix that's put together.
Well, that's interesting. You had the Packers beat the Vikings. Everyone was hoping maybe the Vikings do something finally, and no.
I was hoping that, but yeah, the Packers pretty handily won that game.
Yeah. It was close for a little bit, and then it took a leap. Panthers still 10-0.
Dominated the Redskins.
They beat the crap out of the Redskins, but that was bullshit. I don't know if you saw the game changer in that.
No, what happened?
It was tied at 14-14. Redskins just made some really good plays to keep it tied or whatever. Mm-hmm. Carolina starts driving, throws the ball to Greg Olsen, split out left. The defender immediately hits him, but hits him like in the upper chest, neck, face mask area.
Uh-huh.
And it like discombobulates Olsen. He just tosses the ball up in the air. The guy who hit him grabs the ball, runs it back for a touchdown. 21-14. Oh. But they call it back because the personal or unnecessary roughness for the hit. And it didn't even look like he hit him that hard. It was just, you know, a questionable spot.
Yeah.
Took back the interception, gave him 15 yards, and Carolina went on to score an insane amount of points after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I should look that up.
Huge turn of events. To take a play away like that, I know it's player safety and stuff, but from a football standpoint, it's like, come on. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, if he took his head off, sure. Or if, you know, it was like Olsen looked kind of beat up, like he hit his chin or something. Olsen looked a little like odd afterwards. Like he was uncomfortable with his neck or something. But I mean, if you watch the player, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of uncomfortable and maybe hitting your head a little bit, how about Case Keenum on the Rams? Do you see that play? He gets sacked.
Destroyed.
Wails his head off the ground. he immediately grabs his head with both hands, then can barely get on his feet. His O-linemen are like dragging him up by his shoulder, and he's just wobbling all around, and somehow nobody in the stadium took him out of the game. I mean, there's a independent doctor there who's supposed to be looking down going, hey, that dude doesn't look like he's got all his marbles right now.
Yeah, right. And they let him play.
They let him play. The coaches, his teammates, the referees, the guy whose job it is upstairs. I mean, everybody let him play. I don't get it. How does that happen?
He couldn't even stand.
Oh, yeah. He was all kinds of fucked up.
Like, just watching that, you're like, that dude just got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah. Somehow, they let that slide. Unreal. So, I mean, that was at the very end of the game. The Rams against the Ravens. The Ravens were able to pull out a last-second victory. Unfortunately, they lost their entire offense in the process.
Oh, God, those poor bastards. Their team is terrible, and then Joe Flacco just tears his ACL, MCL. Tough for, you know, good shit for him, though. He stayed on the field.
Yeah, he stayed in for that final drive. Played, three more plays.
Yeah, if he apparently knew if he got off the field, or if he didn't have time to get off the field, it would have been a stop, you know, had to stop the clock, and they would have lost.
Yeah.
So he just, like, limped on in. I mean, imagine if he got hit again. His knee is literally hanging there.
Well, there's nothing. I mean, what else could happen? He just tore the worst ligament you could tear.
He just gets hit so hard again, the whole thing just like falls off.
Oh, gross.
I mean, imagine that. Well, a man loses a leg on the field. Like, that would have been fucked.
I don't think he'd lose his whole leg. There's a patella tendon in there. There's a lot of structure in there.
Yeah, but
your skin, if nothing else.
That's all relying on other two main things that are gone.
Okay, there's still two more left and, ligaments in your knee.
And then Forsett got hurt, so yeah, they're starting running back and quarterback, both done. And they don't have any receivers right now, or a tight end.
Steve Smith's done for the year, yeah. They're fucked. 3-7, they were able to get the win, but still.
Yeah, they're just nothing. Kind and of useless. Then the Colts beat the goddamn Falcons. The Falcons plummet from the high point continues.
Remember when it was difficult to go into the Georgia Dome and win? I feel like they lose every game at home right now. They lost to the Bucks at home. They lost to the Colts at home.
It's pretty embarrassing. I mean, that sucks. Like, that's supposed to be where you win.
Yeah, I don't know what is up with that team. They are so up and down. They're just all over the place. Matt Ryan threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen from his own end zone. He puts the ball between the 5 and the 2 on DeQuell Jackson's chest. And he just runs in from like the 8-yard line. It was horrible.
Well, Jackson happens to be in, seems to be in positions to do that a lot these days.
Yeah, but Matt, I mean, he was there. I don't know how you don't see him. He's right in front of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a mess down in Atlanta.
Here's a shout out I'd like to know. So obviously you've heard about, we talked about, I think previously, about how the NFL, the ball preparation and temperatures and air pressures are all going to be, you know, taken and numbered and all that crap.
They were going to do it randomly throughout the season.
Well, I would love to see what the numbers looked like on friggin' Monday night.
Well, they're not going to release it because they're not going to know what it's going to say.
Because if they were going to have a good sample, I mean, it wasn't wet, but it went from probably 60, 70 degrees in the locker room to a nice, cool 32 on the field. I'd like to see if it dropped a little more than one PSI. That would have been a nice little icing on the cake for the win there.
We're collecting data, but we're not making it public because we don't know if it's going to make us look bad. That's pretty much what it is from the NFL's perspective
Sham they're running over there at league office.
Those motherfuckers.
Yeah. I bet it's down to a PSI. I would piss my pants laughing if it was not a PSI.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, just from
knowing physics.
Yeah, from the ideal gas law, which is what everyone's been talking about for 7 months now, but that's what it is.
Pieces of shit.
It goes, PSI drops, pressure drops when temperature drops. That simple.
Yeah. Oh my God. If they released that, everyone would be like, fuck.
Yeah.
They didn't fucking do anything? Are you shitting me?
Well, they can't release it because they still took away two draft picks. If they're proven wrong at this point.
Well, imagine if we had a first round next year. That would be great.
Yeah, if they're absolutely proven wrong at this point, then they got to give back those draft picks. So they're not going to allow themselves to be proven wrong until the end of the draft when they've already stolen them.
Yeah. So
I guess the second draft pick is in the 2017 draft. So then they'd have to hold on to that data for an extra year and a half.
So they'll release it in 5 years and be like, yeah, apparently it all changes.
Yeah, it's going to be like all the documents.
Subject to the weather.
It's going to be like all the documents related to the Kennedy assassination when they all like come out 50 years later.
Yeah, right.
Freedom of Information Act. I don't know. Anyway, how do we get on that? Let's go back to actual football. How about Tony Romo coming back, getting the Cowboys' first win since week two?
Yep.
They put down the Dolphins. And now we got a very exciting matchup tomorrow on Thanksgiving. The undefeated Carolina Panthers going into Dallas to play the Tony Romo and the newly rejuvenated Dallas Cowboys. What do you think? I mean, even Vegas is picking the Cowboys.
Vegas picked the Cowboys?
Yeah, at least at the beginning of the week, the Cowboys were like a 2-point favorite.
No way.
Ron Rivera was livid. He was like, that's so disrespectful. We're 10-0.
That's what he said?
He said it's disrespectful. I'm like, why do you care about the Vegas?
I can't believe Vegas picked fucking Dallas.
Dude,
I don't know if you watched the game. I mean, I saw bits. I think I saw it on Red Zone.
I didn't see it. Romo threw two picks. I know that.
They weren't too impressive. It wasn't like, oh my God, all their problems are solved. It's like, wow, this team kind of looks pretty bad still.
Well, he's got to be rusty.
Yeah, okay. And he's going against one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, I know. That's the tough part.
And they have one of the best cornerbacks in the league in that.
Josh Norman.
I mean, okay, you match up him against Dez. They got someone to cover the tight end.
And then what's next? Terrence Williams.
Terrence Williams and fucking the little white dude. What's his name?
Beasley.
He was pretty good, but I mean, I don't. Yeah, I would take Carolina if I was a betting man.
Yeah.
Especially if they're not fucking favored. They just beat the shit out of the Redskins, who is in the same is in a better position in that division than the fucking Cowboys.
Yeah, but the Cowboys have been without their quarterback for seven games.
Yeah, I know. But what'd he break again?
Romo, he broke his collarbone.
Yeah, okay. That's like a quarterback's nightmare.
No, it's not. His left collarbone. He throws it with his right arm. It's not that bad.
Very easy to re-break.
Very easy to re-break, yeah. I was just talking to somebody, and they were like, Romo's going to get hurt tomorrow. Write it down. It's like, oh, jeez.
I mean, I don't wish that on anybody, but, you know, you can't fucking favor the Dallas. I don't care if it's at home. I don't care where it is.
I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Oh, it'll probably be a good game. I'm happy, you know. I thought all the games on Thanksgiving tomorrow were going to suck.
That should be good. Packers-Bears. Packers-Bears could be good.
Maybe. I'm not really sold on the Bears, though.
The Packers are two games removed from losing to the Lions.
That's true.
That's it.
That says it all. Yeah, we'll see.
So we'll find out. Mm-hmm. I think the Chargers are officially dead. They're 2-8. They lost 33-3 to the
Chargers
Chiefs.
Are definitely dead. The Chiefs are still in there. They're in the hunt. Another team.
I wrote off the Chiefs after like 2 weeks, and now they're 5-5.
They're back in the they're in the mold.
Pretty legit.
Right along with everybody else, the Buccaneers just beat the shit out of the Eagles.
Yeah,
who saw that coming?
Anybody? When you see that Mark Sanchez is starting,
I was surprised they beat him. They let up 45 points. Jameis Winston looked like he should have been a first round pick. I couldn't believe it.
Well, what do you think he was the first overall pick?
They never pan out in the first year. Come on now.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes they're good. Anyway, they put up 28 points in the first half, 17 more in the second half.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's incredible. The Eagles just completely caved. It shows their defense is just nothing.
Yeah, the Eagles are a mess. Pats are going to play them in, what, like 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be great. They're already talking about Chip Kelly wanting to get out and all this stupid nonsense. So,
well, there's going to be some. Aren't there some big college football openings? I don't know. I could see him springing back.
Oh, I can too. And then it'll just be like the biggest mess in the world.
Oh, they're talking about LSU. That would be a big one. He could go back for that. Anyway, who else played? Let's see. Oh, well, I mean, we just barely grazed over the Bengals losing to the Cardinals. Great game, by the way.
That was a really good game.
But, I mean, how about really them close. Fucking Cardinals?
They're good, man. They're really good.
It's a good-ass team. That's, I mean...
Good running game.
That might be the second-best team in the NFL. Obviously, I'm saying the Patriots are first.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the Panthers could take on anyone in that conference right now, but the Cardinals will give them a run for their money. I mean, they got a really good offense. You got a feisty defense.
Yeah, I love that defense. It's so cool. They got Tyrann Mathieu, who's like 5'9", 180, and he's kind of plays like safety, slot corner, and he makes big hits and big plays. I don't know. I just love him. And then they got another safety who's playing middle linebacker. I mean, every time you watch him, Chris Collinsworth keeps talking about him, but Buchanan, who's a first-round pick out of Washington State, they moved him from safety to middle linebacker. He's playing middle linebacker, like 210 pounds.
That's crazy.
They got so many weird parts to it, and then like you got
Patrick Peterson,
you got Calais Campbell up front.
It's cool. Is Darryl Washington still playing, or is he suspended?
He's suspended for probably smoking reefer.
Yeah.
Typical.
And their offense is pretty electric. And the Bengals, they just, you know, couldn't get it done in primetime. The story continues.
Pretty close, though. I mean, they tied it up. They put up 17 points in the fourth quarter to tie it up.
I know, but they, hey, that's what everyone was grading on. If they would win. It's not about close. It's about if you win.
Win. I think I heard Michael Irvin saying that. He was like, all those questions about the Bengals in primetime, they all just came back after two straight losses in primetime. So can they do it on the biggest stage? Who knows?
We'll see.
Average Andy behind center. So yeah, that's pretty much the state of the NFL right now. We'll be looking forward to the games on Thanksgiving. We'll try to get back to you guys. Give you guys our opinions of the games on Thanksgiving. I really stumbled over that one. I'm going with the Cowboys. Fuck it. I'm going with them. What do you think? Do you think the Panthers?
I'm going to take the Panthers. I can't see the Cowboys making that up that much ground that quick.
All right.
Hey, I hope they take them down. I would love to see Carolina lose, so we're the only undefeated team, no matter what. I mean, I guess it is a short week, so it's anybody's game because everyone plays shitty on a short week or has the potential to play shitty on a short week at least, but I'd have to take Carolina. I'd be surprised if they lost.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a ton of shit if they lose. Anyway,
like Carolina.
What'd you say?
I said I don't like Carolina. I don't give a shit if they win. I'd rather them lose. I'm just saying, as from a football standpoint, they're playing really goddamn good right now. And Dallas' defense isn't even that good.
Yeah, you're right. They're not that good. But well, Greg Hardy in a revenge game against his old team?
Yeah, screw that. Screw him with his Kragan stuff.
All right, fair enough. Well, I think that'll just about do it for the week 11 wrap up here. You got anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'd say that's about it.
Yeah, Pats are fighting injuries, but I mean, it looks okay. Things are looking up. Amendola is okay. O-line's getting back together. We got a 2-game lead in the AFC. We got a 5-game lead in the division. We're playing a backup quarterback in Denver this week. We're potentially playing a backup quarterback in Houston and Philly in the upcoming weeks. Things are looking okay.
Yeah. We'll be all right.
All right then, folks. I guess we will talk to you later on this week to give you a preview of the Patriots and Broncos epic matchup coming up this weekend on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to you later.
Adios.